and so unworthy, still for us he chose to die. Filled us with his Holy Spirit, now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercy.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And I am joined today at this moment by Nan Watson, who's also a member of our congregation and a member of the radio team. Later, we'll be joined by Betty Thomas from Indiana and Pastor Marcia, all the way from Mexico. So she's in Mexico until the 15th. And doing some missionary work there, so we're really excited about that. And so we're kind of holding down the fort till she gets back, but, you know, we're going to do it, right, Nan?
We're going to do it. That would make her, that makes her proud, too, to know that she can, you know, praise God. I mean, yes, thank God for that, but that she can go off and take care of doing missionary work that God has called her to do as a
exactly.
representative of our church, and know that things are still going to go forward
mm-hmm.
because you're such a wonderful host yourself that you just move right into that spot, and thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm certainly going to have to be a good host today because there was some issue with the CD that I burned, so we're using one of the worship CDs from church. So, but you know what? That's not going to stop what God wants to do, and I'm still excited. That first song that we opened with, you know, God is good all the time. That's really a good kind of way to start out what we want to talk about this week. Pastor Marcia has been talking about faithed up to overflowing. That's been our theme now for several weeks.
Several weeks, yes.
And I prayed about what to talk about, and the Lord kind of pointed me to Matthew chapter 9 and Acts chapters 3 and 4. And to talk about being faithed up for evangelism, faithed up to overflowing for evangelism. And I got to looking at Jesus' pattern for evangelism and the early apostles, what their pattern for evangelism is. And it's a lot different from kind of how we look at evangelism today, I think, in a lot of times. Not everybody, because I happen to follow Reinhard Bonnke on my on Facebook, and he does what we're going to be talking about today, the type of evangelism that I want to talk about today. So let's just start with Matthew chapter 9.
I got to tell you, Pastor, when you sent, because you guys always send to the people who are on the show, you know, the scripture that we're going to be using, mm-hmm. I read that last night, and I'm like, ooh, that is some good stuff. I mean, I was really excited about that. I'm like, oh yeah, you go, Pastor Jim. There's some pretty good stuff there.
Is some pretty good stuff in there. Excuse me, those who are watching perhaps on video, you can see me putting on my reading glasses. But again, I do want to welcome everyone here. If you're listening live, either via the airwaves, Tantalk 1340, or on the internet, Tantalk 1340.com. Just so you know, the show can also be heard on Saturdays and Sundays at 10 o'clock on the Starcom network. So that's the Starcom network. And then following that, of course, on both days is Go Yard, which is our Thursday night show, which stars Pastor Marcia in her alter ego as Mama Mac and Dr. Angel. It's basically a free kind of a counseling sort of show, life coaching, so it's kind of free counseling. So I would encourage everybody to turn in for that show. So why don't we start with prayer, and then we'll start talking, then we'll be in Matthew chapter 9. So Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, just thanking you and praising you, Lord, that that all creation just worships you. And Father, we worship you, and we thank you for the gift of life that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you sent him for us, that you sent your only Son to be our Savior. And Jesus, we thank you that you came and became a man, that you went to the cross and that you rose again. We thank you that you've given us the commission to proclaim this to the world. Lord, we submit this radio time into your hands. We ask you, Lord God, to help us make the word plain and clear and understandable. We ask you, Lord, to send out the word with an anointing. Anoint the ears and the hearts of those who would be listening, that they, Lord God, would understand and come to know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah, whom you have sent. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to say something pretty cool about the show. You know, when you pray for the anointing, you know, for God's anointing on the show, the anointing is on the show right now as we're live. But the anointing is also on the show as it's played these other times. Then, you know, God just moves with anointing on those shows too. So whether they're listening to it live now or at a later time, that same anointing is still on that. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool.
And I just have to jut in here with a bell. Our wonderful technician, Peter, praise God, got the CD to work apparently. So
ooh, another bell.
I know.
I actually went on YouTube and got the song. So there you go.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, you know what? I may change the order a bit, so, you know, you never know. But praise God. Oh, praise God for that.
That's exciting.
That is exciting. So in Matthew chapter 9, I want to focus just on one verse to start with. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 3, at which point I'll have Peter play one of the songs. But Matthew chapter 9, it's just chock full of healing. I mean, you know, it starts out with healing and ends with healings. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Bible. And it's got actually two of my favorite verses, one which we're going to talk about today and one that I'm saving up for Wednesday night's gathering.
Ooh, all right.
My favorite verse in this chapter is verse 35. Which is where I wanted to start, where I wanted to focus. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, the point I want to make with this is that's full evangelism. You know, there are, and I don't want to step on any toes, but there are some churches who do not believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit, don't believe that healing or miracles are for today, deliverance is for today. But Jesus, if you notice, especially Matthew brings this out so well, he'll teach, and then there's a whole section on healings, where he's performing healings. Then he teaches some more, and then there's more healings. I mean, that's kind of the pattern of Matthew's book. And here it kind of sums it all up. Jesus went about teaching and preaching the kingdom and healing. So this is what I like to call, and I borrowed the term from the Vineyard, but it's full evangelism. It's not just proclaiming the word. It's proclaiming the word with signs following. You know, and we remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. And just so everybody knows, those weren't just for the apostles. It doesn't say, and these signs shall follow the 12, or these signs shall follow the 12 plus Paul. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It's for everybody.
Well, you know what's interesting, I'd like to put a plug in here. We've seen that happen at Beacon. You know, Pastor teaches, pastor preaches, and we've seen, I mean, people be prayed for, and we've seen them be healed. I mean, right there, our people. We know, we see.
Right.
You know, we knew that they really had this or that or whatever, and then we saw that it was removed, it was taken care of. What, you know, so it does happen today because we see it in our own congregation.
We see it in our congregation, and the point that I made Wednesday night at the gathering, which if you're not doing anything on Wednesday nights and you're in the Tampa Bay area, please feel free to join us at the gathering. We meet at the Ramada at 3580 Olmerton Road in Clearwater. So please join us. We meet at 6:30. Bring dinner, bring a Bible, bring a notebook. You'll have a great time. But yeah, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, it says, God also testifying with them, speaking of the early apostles, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So God testifies, as it were, to the gospel. It's proving the gospel. And people say, well, we're a modern people. This is the modern age. We don't need that. Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look around and so many people are so mixed up, and I'm really preaching today, in mysticism.
Keep it up.
I know, in mysticism and New Age stuff, mm-hmm. You know, there's false miracles out there. There's false healings, false miracles. But so many people are so bound up with all that darkness. And, you know, it's not just the scientific types that don't believe. You know, sometimes, you know, it's just people have been taught wrong. You know, they just don't understand. But, yes, there's no reason that the gospel should not be backed up with signs and wonders. No reason at all. And people say, well, why? Why do we need that? Well, as Pastor Marshall likes to say, miracles or healings are the dinner bell for salvation. And I was meditating on that, and I thought, well, that's true. I mean, I think of, I'm old enough to remember the first run of the Beverly Hillbillies, and Granny would be out there with that triangle, you know, ringing the dinner bell. And that would get everybody's attention, especially Jethro's. But it would get everybody's attention, and they'd all come to dinner. And that's what a miracle is. We're going to talk about that in Acts chapter 3. Again, some of my favorite verses. Nan,
you like
to know what those are.
I do.
So if we could have the song Walk and Talk by Keith Green. Okay, I just wonder how many of our listeners are old enough to remember that song, because it's over 40 years old. But it's a great song, and it's talking about Acts chapter 3, Peter and John in the temple. And they went to the temple, and of course, we're going to get into that in just a second, what happened in the temple. But Nan, you have something for us, I believe.
I have something for us that the Lord just inspired during that song. You can move forward in your life sharing my message with all of them. They can learn that I am here for them and that upon me they can depend. Share your faith with those you meet. That's what I desire for you to do. Will you move forward sharing? This is what you really should do. Let them know that they can have faith, faith up to overflowing within. They need to learn about this principle, knowing that upon me they can depend.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to find out how that worked for one man in the temple in Acts chapter 3. Some of my favorite verses. But starting in, of course, this is shortly after the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray at the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock, which was the hour of prayer.
What is the day of Pentecost? Can you describe that?
Oh, of course. The day of Pentecost was one of the seven Jewish holidays, and it is the day when, after Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead, when the Holy Spirit fell upon all the 120 disciples gathered in the upper room. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the book of Acts says in chapter 2, and began speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People, and again, thank you, Nan, because we're talking about signs following. There weren't any healings that happened at that moment, but it says in the Scriptures there was a sound like a great and rushing wind, a mighty rushing wind. Doesn't say there was a wind, but imagine, it's windy here today in Clearwater. I mean, we have winds up around 20, 25 miles an hour. So imagine hearing that sound of a rushing wind, but not having any wind. So what happened was all these people gathered because they heard this sound, probably sounded like a tornado. So they're all running to the location where the upper room was. And boom, there's nothing, there's no wind. But there was a big crowd gathered there. They wondered what was going on. And then they heard the 120 proclaiming the wonders of God in tongues, in their own languages. And on that day, Peter preached the first sermon. 3,000 got saved. So again, Peter, you know, here was this incident, this miracle that happened, and people gathered. They wanted to know what it was. And of course, there were some scoffers. Well, they're just drunk. You know, they're just drunk. And Peter said, oh, no, we're not. And immediately he launched into that sermon. 3,000 people got saved. I know. Pretty amazing.
That's pretty amazing stuff.
So shortly after that, Peter and John went to the temple about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to do some praying. And they came upon a man who the Scripture says had been lame from his mother's womb. So he had never, ever walked before. Okay? He had never, ever walked. And they'd set him down at the gate called Beautiful, which is one of the gates of the temple, so he could, you know, so that he could just beg and try to get money to live on. So Peter and John walked past him, and Peter seemed to sense something. Maybe he knew this guy had faith. He just needed a little push, perhaps, to come to faith in Jesus. But he told him, I don't have money to give you, but what I do possess, I'll give you. So in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And we all know the song, he went walking and leaping and praising God. And because he did, he got up, he walked.
You know, that is, you said that he had faith, probably he just needed a little push. And, you know, that's why it's so important to, you know, attend church or surround yourself with people who are Christians, who have faith, too, because there's been times that, you know, you guys have encouraged me. I've maybe had faith in something and faith that God was moving or whatever, you know, that God was doing in a situation. But just that little extra, come on, Nanya, God's going to do it, you know, it would push my faith to the point of, yeah, he is.
He is going to do it. And that's what happened here. He got up and he walked. And, you know, of course, that's going to draw a crowd. Here the man who's been lame all these years, you know, is up walking around. And guess what Peter did? He preached another sermon.
Oh, right.
That man loved to preach. And, you know, I was looking over the sermon today, and it's not. Basically, he blames the listeners for the death of Jesus. You know, he says, look, you handed him over to Pilate and asked a criminal to be set free, but it's okay because it was all part of God's plan. And then in chapter 4, something happens. I mean, I really spent some time looking at this because when you preach the gospel, when you get out there and you stand and preach the gospel, one of the first things that's going to happen is opposition. And I think we've had it. I'm sure Betty's had it. Pastor Marsha's had it. Just you preach the gospel, and especially with signs following, people are going to try and repudiate you, to make fun of you, ignore you. And that's what happened here with Peter. And it's funny. It wasn't the common rabble that got upset, which I think we need to, you know, we think sometimes it'd be the, you know, just the crowds that would get upset. It was the religious leaders. You know, he stepped on their toes, and they did not like that at all. So what happened was that, you know, they hauled him in. Basically, they took him to prison and, you know, held him in Acts chapter 4, verse 3. They held him overnight in prison. And then in verse 4, but many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So, yeah, and we had 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. One man gets healed. A lame man gets healed. 2,000 more get added to the church.
Well, you know, that's really kind of the way things happen with us at times. That, you know, whatever, you know, Satan comes against us in something, and it would be, to outside people, it might look like a devastating kind of thing. But we have faith in God. We believe. We're faithed up to overflowing. We believe. And then such good comes out of that situation that, you know, Satan would have been just as well to leave it alone, because more good came out of it afterwards because the person was faithed up and, you know, believed and trusted God.
Well, and our faith gets tempered. You know, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But it gets tempered by tribulation. Ooh, write that down. That's good.
Tempered, I like that.
Faith gets tempered by tribulation. When the devil, or even, you know, our own silliness sometimes, gets us into situations, you know, we get tested, we get tried, that can strengthen your faith. You know, James says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various temptations, for the trying of your faith produces endurance. And endurance is so important because faith is now, hope is future, but endurance is what gets us from now to then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a whole teaching series in that. Well, Pastor, if you're listening, did you get that? Because faith is now. It's Hebrews chapter, boy, I'm really kind of hitting this, aren't I? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is, not then faith will be, or then faith was, but now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is now. But we hope, you know, what we hope for is something in the future. I hope for the blessed hope, the return of Jesus. I mean, you know, I hope that happens in my lifetime. But it's endurance that gets us there. And that's what happened. Ooh, that's good. I'm going to preach on that some more. I'm going to preach on that some more. I mean, look at well, praise God, the pastor who was on here just before us talked about that very thing.
I know.
That we have, you have need of endurance. Paul said you have need of endurance. They all said you have need of endurance. You know, Peter said you have need of endurance because you've not yet shed blood. Now that's, I don't want to, you know, I mean, I've kind of joked, my gift is martyrdom. The gift you only use once. But, you know, if I could avoid using that gift, that's okay. But I'll use it if I have to. But it's true because there are some times when we have to stand up for our faith. And here, Peter and John had gotten hauled in by the religious authorities. And just a real quick background, the religious authorities did not believe, A, that Jesus was the Messiah, B, that he rose from the dead. So they just weren't having it. So they hauled them in, and they made the mistake of asking Peter a question. Now, what does Peter do when he's asked a question?
He preaches,
absolutely.
So I'm glad you, it kind of reminds me, here I'm going to go, but on the program, Big Bang Theory, Sheldon, you know, when they ask a question, all everyone goes, oh, no, like Penny will ask a question, oh, no, don't ask that, you know, because he's going to go in a long dissertation mm-hmm. about his situation there.
Exactly. And that's what Peter does. But there's one difference, I think, between Peter and Sheldon.
There is a difference.
In Acts chapter 4, verse 7, when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? Now, I'm sorry. That was a stupid question to be asking Peter. Okay, they knew very well whose name they did this in. But Peter, having just been filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, he got that initial baptism on the day of Pentecost. Well, here we see he got refilled again. What a wonderful thing. You can always be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God filled Peter with the Spirit at that moment. And he said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're on trial today for a benefit done for a sick man, as to how this man was made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. I'm kind of thinking they probably wished they hadn't asked that question.
Probably.
Okay. Because then Peter quotes prophecy to back it up. He says, he's the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And then, and this is one of my favorite, you can write this down, this is one of my favorite verses, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And I make no apologies for Peter. He said it. And I believe that. There's no other name. So This is not what the religious leaders wanted to hear at all, ever. But they did. And God really led me to the next verse or so. Because especially as we're talking about being faithed up for evangelism, there's a couple of prerequisites. One is being filled with the Holy Spirit, which happened to Peter in verse 8. Then in verse 13, it says, now as they, the religious leaders, observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood they were uneducated and untrained men. Okay. They knew Peter and John had not gone to the rabbinical school down the street. They didn't have book learning, basically. You know, I'm sure they were brought up, they went to Hebrew school, they knew the prophecies and stuff, because all Hebrew children, male children, got that. But they'd never done any advanced studies, and besides, they were just two fishermen. So I'm sure the religious leaders tended to look down their noses at them. Okay, can you imagine? They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. There's something else that's a prerequisite. for being faithed up to overflowing for evangelism is being with Jesus. Okay, now they spent 3 years with Jesus. And, you know, face to face with Jesus. What a wonderful thing that would have been. Mm. But we, even though we can't be face to face, we need to spend time with Jesus. People need to recognize that we've spent time with Jesus, that we've been with Jesus. And that takes the form of what, Nan? Jump in here with some ideas for us. How do we maintain God's, you know, how do we let people know we've been with Jesus?
Well, one thing is by what we speak, but more importantly is by how we act and how we behave and what we do.
Okay, and how do we get there?
We pray.
Yeah, that's a good start. Praying, pray. Reading the Word, all those things that show us God, that feed our spirits. You know, those are all the things that we have to do in order to be faithed up, in order to have, so that people know that we've been with Jesus, which is a wonderful thing. So it basically, the leaders of the people told them not, you know, they forbid them to speak and or teach anything in the name of Jesus. They basically told them to shut up, go away, don't bother us anymore. And I love Peter's response way down here in Acts chapter 4, verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. And that's so important that we understand that it was so important to Peter and John. Mm-hmm. It was their life. They said, we can't stop talking about this. Jesus was dead. He's alive again. He's the Messiah. And we can't stop talking about it. If you don't want us to talk about it, that's your issue.
Right.
But we can't not talk about it.
I think Betty's joining us.
Oh, praise God. Betty, are you there? Did I abandon you, my darling?
No, you did not abandon me. I'm just sitting here listening and learning.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm so glad you're on. How are things in Indiana?
Well, the sun is shining. We can't complain. It's 54, but it's really windy here.
Seriously, it is 54 where you're at? You don't want to know what it is here? 57.
Yeah, I'm sure you, is it really?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing
thing.
And
it's windy.
And it's windy.
Very windy.
Oh, I feel so sorry for you.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Hi, Betty. How are you doing today, dear?
Well, I'm doing fine. You know, when you were talking about you were going into the healing scriptures, people in Indiana, sure they are in Florida, need some healing up here. We're just passing around some kind of upper respiratory bug, and we're battling strep throat and bronchitis, and it's just awful.
I think a lot of it
for living in Indiana.
Well, it's same thing down here. We've had such strange weather. It was so warm, then it gets cold, then it gets warm, then it gets cold. So it's been kind of crazy. And yeah, a lot of my coworkers have been ill. Chip, who does the shows before us here at WTAN, has had respiratory issues. So, yeah, it's going around down here too. So maybe it's a good thing we're talking about healing today.
Amen.
You know, I think it's a, you know, and I think it's so important, especially with Pastor being in Mexico. But that's actually one of the reasons I wanted to talk about faithed up to overflowing for evangelism, because I really do believe that God is moving us individually and as a church toward more true evangelism, which I spoke about earlier in Matthew chapter 9, not just preaching the word, but also having the signs following the word to confirm it. And I really believe that's where we're going, and actually that's where we have to go, you know, because the world's going to be demanding as we get closer to the return of Jesus. They'll be demanding proof of the word. And
well, I think that, you know, Pastor Marcia has been preparing Beacon of Hope, as she did when she was here in Indiana, that, you know, as a shepherd, she's preparing the sheep to go out and be evangelists, just as Jesus prepared the disciples to go out and evangelize. And I think that we are so blessed, and you are down there, to have a pastor that believes in missions, that believes in evangelism, that believes in you know, the workers are few, as it says in the Word. And when there are people that are willing to go, he's quick to send you. And I think that's awesome that she's down in Mexico, you know, down there, and being able to minister and already ministering, you know, to people that need the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's, and I'm, she's, I think, I believe you're absolutely right. We've been, this is going to sound horrible to the ear, we've been being prepared because, and, you know, pastors talked about it for a long time. There's, she's likely going to be spending more and more time ministering outside. And we have to, A, trust that that's God's will. And then all of us then have to step up into whatever God's called us to do individually. Betty, I really wish you could have been there Wednesday night. At the end of the service, God had told me before, as I walked in the door, don't let her out of here without her, Pastor Marcia. Don't let her out of here without praying for her. Lay your hands on her.
Praise God.
And, of course, God told her the same thing. you know, imagine that.
Imagine that.
But we did at the end of the service, and I told Pastor this. It was like commissioning an apostle, you know? Yeah. And so, I mean, it was one of the most, I don't want to say emotional, because although I was emotional, it was deeper than, it was spiritual. I mean, it was just one of the deeper spiritual experiences I've had.
Anyone? It is, what you're not aware of is I happen to have had my digital recorder with me, because I carry it with me everywhere, and I taped that, and I just got to get it typed for Pastor, because it, Betty, if you'd have been there, it was like commissioning, sending her out. And the prayer that he prayed was so anointed. And it was just, I just got to get settled in and get it typed for her and email it to her now, you know, so that she can have it while she's in the middle of her first trip off. But, you know, you didn't know that. But,
I didn't know that you taped it. But, well, praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And which, you know, it's kind of scary. And, in fact, that same night, and I'm pretty sure Nan got this on tape, I gave a prophecy about stepping up into our individual callings. Well, Pastor thought, Pastor said, I know parts of that were for me, but I know parts of it were for me and for everybody else in there. Not to be afraid to move forward with God, because we have to. We either we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, or we, you know, we fall behind. And by falling behind, I mean we kind of lose ground. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to lose any ground with the Lord. So we have to literally keep in step, in marching step with the Spirit. And that's so, you know, that's so important, especially in these days. And especially, like, you know, Peter and John did that in Acts chapter 3 and 4. They kept in step. It cost them a lot. They had to spend the night in jail for it. And then they were empowered. They stood up. They stood up to the religious authorities and said, "No, do what you want, but we can't. You're not going to shut us up." Basically, you know. And I think that is just so cool of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that when it comes time when we have to do the same thing. I truly pray God grants us that amount of courage. And but we talked about before, you know, being Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He spent time with Jesus, and I'm sure his fellowship, his communion with Jesus, didn't stop just because Jesus had gone up to heaven. Because if it had, then that means, you know, we're kind of out of luck. But we know better because Jesus lives inside of us, and we can spend time with Jesus every single day. And if we want to be evangelists and see these see the word go forth in power, as the old timers used to say, the word going forth mm-hmm. in power, then we've got to be faithed up to overflowing. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to spend time with Jesus.
You know, one of the things that the Lord has been dealing with me, actually, about the past day and a half, and, you know, he talks to us, and one of the ways he talks, you know, you sit down with a piece of paper, and it just he dictates, just like he does with the poems on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool, many of the things he's been telling me. One of the things was, just spend more time with me. The more you listen, the more you'll hear. And that's what he's put. I mean, the more you listen, the more you'll hear. And that makes sense.
Right.
You know, but, you know, just to spend more time and carve out time. It's interesting how I was able to carve out time the last day and a half to spend more time with him and to listen to him. And everybody can do that.
Oh.
And what you're talking is, we need to do that as we move forward, as Beacon moves forward. We need to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's unbelievable. I mean, and I know I've said this before, and Betty, I'm sure you've experienced this. When I start my day, before I go to work, you know, I get up, have my coffee, have my breakfast, walk the dog, come back, get ready for work. But the last thing I do before I go to work is have my quiet time, spend my time praying in the Word. And I know on the days when I leave that out and think, oh, okay, I'm running late, I can do it when I get home, those days usually don't go so well. Has that ever happened to you, Betty?
Well, I think that one of the things that you do is that you put God first. And when you don't, if we put Him second, third, fourth, or fifth, that we have a tendency to stumble through our day.
Right.
You know, there's things that, you know, crop up. The devil just says, well, you didn't spend time with the Lord today. Now watch what I can do. And it just seems that everybody has that happen to them at one point or another. I mean, we're not perfect. We are imperfect, but we are made perfect through the blood of Jesus. And one of the things that I've made a habit of doing is, before my feet hit the ground, is that I say, Lord, I give this day to you. And if I don't get to my prayer time before I get up and become active, it's okay. But I have at least dedicated my day to the Lord at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes things go so much more smoothly. You know, the dogs don't run away. The horses don't kick. It's just one of those things.
Praise God for that.
In my world, it's like, that's what I do. I take care of animals, and it just makes the day so much quicker, because you can feel the peace of God come over you when mm-hmm. you ask the Lord to intervene and help you, and to set the day in motion with the Lord.
Right.
There's nothing like it, guys. There's nothing like it.
Amen. And we want to play song "Revival Fire Falls" by Paul Baloche, because it really speaks to where we're going to be going to next in Acts chapter 4.
Your will be done. Pour out.
We've sung that song in church before.
We have.
I love that song. In Acts chapter 4, we talked about, you know, Peter and John. And, oh, Nan has something for us.
I do.
I would have just spoke right over that, Nan.
It's okay. It's called My Revival Fire Will Fall. My revival fire will fall on those who desire to have such. I will greatly minister to them. They will feel my special touch. Do you desire to feel this? Will you spend time with me? You will receive this special gift and of your burdens feel free. I will help you through all that you face. I'm here. Praise me with all of your heart. Perhaps you haven't done much of this. However, today is a new day. Just start.
Oh, praise God. I like that.
I like that. That's
great,
pretty good.
Man. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. It's not me, it's God. Good. It's not me, it's God.
Yeah, I think that's spot on, though, for what we've been talking about. That, and while you were saying that, when you were reading your poem, I got the feeling like we need to make ourselves available to be kindling. You know, because you can't start a fire with a log. You've got to have something to catch that log
that's
on fire.
True.
You have to have the kindling. And we have to make ourselves available to be set afire. You know, that was in the song we just heard, you know, hearts ablaze for Jesus. We have to be willing to catch the fire and then to pass the fire on. You know, that's basically what revival is, catching the fire and passing it on. So in Acts chapter 14... jumping way ahead. Acts chapter 4, you know, the apostles were hauled before the religious leaders. The religious leaders told them, don't ever talk about Jesus again. And, you know, they said, well, okay, we'll never talk about it. We'll go hide in a corner somewhere and never say that name again. Right, Betty?
Right, Betty?
No.
Nope. Right. Absolutely not.
They were not quiet.
No, they were not. And I think, you know, we've been talking about ways to keep your faith, you know, to overflowing, you know, faithed up to overflowing. And what they did, the first thing they did, and I think this is on so many levels so important, they didn't leave Jerusalem, first of all. They went back to the church. They got released from jail and from that kind of trial they went through, and they went back to the church. That's the first thing they did, and that's so important, because so often when we get under trial, we get tested, we're going through stuff, for whatever reason, we go as far from church as we can.
There was somebody who I know was having a lot of difficulties. And they didn't come to church. And so I contacted them and I said, you know, you need to be in church. And they were like, but this is what's happening. This is how I'm acting. This is what's happening with me. They were dealing with a chemical imbalance. They were feeling this. They were feeling that. I said, wait, whoa. Church is a place you need to be when you're feeling down, when you're feeling out, when you're not feeling well. You need to be in church. There's, you know, and then one time, then after that, the person came to church, and they were like, oh, afterwards, you're so right. And so, yeah, that's what we all need to do, is we have to push past what we're feeling mm-hmm. and move forward. And then we get in church, and then we can learn how to be faithed up
well and
to overflowing
exactly,
for evangelism.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show, I share, I'm like kind of a, I follow Reinhard Bonnke, who is an evangelist. I follow his Facebook page. And just the other day, he posted, and I believe I reposted it, and I'll paraphrase it. Basically, he said, church is not a club for the perfect. It's a hospital for the sick. And that's so true because, you know, none of us in church are perfect. We all have issues. We're all still struggling with stuff. So there comes times, and I think that's so important here. Peter and John had just come through a real test. And they knew where they needed to go. They knew where they would get their support. You know, I know for the longest time I was unchurched after the church that I pastored. You know, there were issues there, and I just didn't go anywhere. Now, I don't recommend that for anybody. Okay, some people say, well, nature is my church, or I can watch it on TV. Well, I did a lot of TV watching. I did a lot of magazine, you know, reading Kenneth Copeland and Believer's Voice of Victory and Jewish Voice and a bunch of other things. But it's not the same. It's not the same. When we're wounded, we need to go to physically wounded, we need to go to the doctor. When we're spiritually wounded, we need to go to church. And that's another thing about being faced up to overflowing is getting in that fellowship, getting your needs, your spiritual needs met. Because if those aren't met, nothing else is going to fall in line. And it starts with the spirit. If the spirit's in the right place, that's going to overflow into our soul and overflow into our body. Any thoughts on that, Betty?
Well, I think that, you know, listening to both of you, here's what I believe is that we need to live in the Lord's presence. And by that fire, that's where it starts, because evangelism, revival starts with us, starts within us. And I used to be a quiet evangelist. I never really said much about the Lord. I really kept it to myself. But then when the Holy Spirit takes over and that fire begins to churn within you, and what I mean, I guess, by fire is that you have this longing to tell more people than just one about what God has done for you. And the basics of that is that living in the Word, praying, attending a fellowship that tells you, you know, the true Word of God, that believes in prayer, that believes that, you know, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He rose, He died on the third day, He rose again, and He's coming again. I think that those are the things that take the fear out of evangelism on an individual basis. But you listen to Reinhard Bonnke. I do, too. I read a lot of his work because you post it. So it's time that we all learn to, again, live in the presence of Almighty God and let the Holy Spirit guide you, because it seems like anymore, I don't know about you two, but the world is just in a constant battle. It can make you weary if you let it.
Right. And
if you stay in the presence, it comforts you in that time of when there's fear and anxiety. Living in His presence can keep you from that, reading and praying. I mean, do you believe that, Pastor?
Oh, I do believe it. And when we come back after station identification, we're going to talk a lot more about that, because we're going to see what Peter and John did after their release. And that's so important. So stay with us.